Often, people do not treat things that are not theirs with as much respect as they do to their own belongings. You might have noticed the streets of San Antonio from the Flambeau last night as you drove through downtown. Lots of streamers and beer cans and all kinds of garbage. Whether you're a rock star in a hotel room, a family eating out in the dining room of a restaurant, or a reveler at the Flambeau, there is a cavalier attitude about cleanliness and decorum when you don't have to clean up, right? Our texts this morning are about belonging. What belongs to whom we belong. The first reading is from our journey through the book of Acts. In this Easter season, we are tasked with exploring the resurrection and the reality of the resurrection, seeing that Jesus is truly alive and what that means for the Christian community. The book of Acts is the account of the first Christians, the ones who put this resurrection reality into action first. One of the most revolutionary things, I think, about the Christian community depicted in Acts, both then and now, is how they shared everything in common, and as the text said, and gave to everyone as they had need. This wasn't simply a potluck where everyone brought a dish to share and then took their covered dish home later. This was a way of life that shared everything, all resources, all energy, all love. It was all consuming. We don't do that in our culture, pretty much anywhere. Not our culture at large, not our culture in the church. If a faith community asked you to do this, you would call it a cult, right? It's so far away from our normal experience to sell everything that we would have and share everything in common and give to anyone who had need that we would say, that's nuts, and disregard it. But sharing everything in common in that way was what people who knew and lived with Jesus did. It is what those who witnessed the resurrection did with their lives. They were so moved and transformed by the experience of Jesus and the resurrection that they let go of what they knew to embrace God, each other, and the world fully. Life abundant. This set an incredible precedent in the Christian community. It has made Christian community countercultural to nearly all cultures throughout history, because humans have a penchant for looking out for number one and hoarding their own resources. The technical term for that is sin. We love it. But that first Christian community, those people who saw it, lived it, were so captivated and ignited by the person and message of Jesus, by the incredible bounty of grace, that they let go of everything to embrace it. This profoundly changed the way that they felt about their possessions, their vocations, themselves, one another. If the reason people will destroy hotel rooms, restaurants, or the streets of downtown San Antonio during the Flambeau is because it doesn't belong to them, then what would it mean if we truly shared all things? If all things were ours? If we knew that we would be a part of the cleanup of any mess that happened because we participated in that mess? If we shared everything from hearts to our belongings to our futures, if we truly, truly lived in that way, what an incredible thing. Our faith communities in the Christian church that are meant to reflect the body of Christ and be it in the world, if we truly treated each other with as much care as we do our own most prized possessions, our own most beloved loved ones, our own selves, how would it affect the community to live in this way? In a unity that prized one another above everything. A unity that was not self-serving. a unity that saw our progress as collective and never individual, a unity that would never discard or discount one another. What an incredible thing. Life abundant. The gospel takes it further. It talks about who draws us into this community and sets the tone with that innate relational belonging. The scripture does not say, look and see which sheep are branded with the cross. That will tell you who they belong to. It doesn't say, oh, and some of them also have the Luther Rose on there. No. It says, the sheep know their shepherd's voice. That's how they know they belong. It cannot be faked. I had a parishioner once who had a similar build and hair color that I did, and she had a very shy little boy who would sometimes mistake my legs for her legs. Any ladies out there get mistaken before? This little guy would run up to me, and he would bury his head in my thigh, and I would wait for it. His big blue eyes would rise up, and when he saw who it really was, his eyes would widen, and he would run the other way. I was not his mama. I may have looked similar. I may be nice enough, but he knew where he belonged. We belong to God, full stop. We don't have to do anything to belong to God, be anything, achieve anything. It is the most wonderful thing about Lutheran theology, and it sets me free over and over and over again. It's wonderful. But it also means that we get freely to have vigilance in our Christian faith. We get to choose it. It is not compulsory. It is not an exchange. It's out of gratitude. It would be very easy to receive this gift and then not do anything with it. To belong and yet not enter the kind of transformational community that we see in the book of Acts that takes care of one another and takes care of the world. To belong and yet not have practice recognizing God's voice because we have deluded ourselves that we know better. Friends in Christ, do we know God's voice when we hear it? Are we able to differentiate it from the voice of self-centered longing in our own heads, also called sin? Do we hear God's call on our hearts and on our community to work with goodness, to embrace one another, to live in grace in the world? Every single thing that we have in this life is a timeshare. This faith that we hold in our hearts is just for a generation, and then we relinquish it to the future. Grumpy's faith goes to Emerson. It is gifted. This body that we live in until it feeds the earth again is on loan, ready for a new cycle of new life to spring forth. Our loved ones, we love them and invest in them in a relationship, and that love teaches love that teaches love that teaches love. Life abundant. Everything belongs to everything, and we are God's. So can we recognize God's voice? Listen. Listen with the ears of your heart. It will not sound like the culture. It will not sound like that sinful, resounding, selfish voice. It will not sound like the past. It will not sound like self-sufficiency. It will not sound like a scratch to an itch that is yours alone. It will sound like joy. It will sound like peace. Like belonging, but never being entrapped to your belongings. It will sound like valuing others as much as you do yourself. Living into resurrection, hope, and grace. And it will be life abundant. Amen.